is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next on News for the Soul, Transformational Learning with Diane Hill. Diane is a member of the Bear Clan of the Mohawk Nation, situated at the Six Nations of the Grand River Territory in Ontario. Diane works as an integrative programs consultant and administrates the Real School Leadership Program and runs a private healing lodge and learning center focusing on fostering emergence. Her teachings integrate an indigenous worldview and with discoveries drawn from the quantum sciences, bridging the Western allopathic scientific perspective and the ancient indigenous multidimensional approach to wholeness. Please welcome back to News for the Soul.
Welcome back, Diane. Live.
Hi, it's Diane Hill. I'm really happy to be back on the show today. And especially today because I have a very special guest with me on the show today on Transformational Learning today, and it is my friend by the name of Eileen Sadlin. And I met Eileen about 10 years ago in one of my workshops when I was working for, it was a Native Cultural Resource Center in the city, an urban location in Owen Sound here in Ontario. And that was the Mwekwedon Native Cultural Resource Center located and situated there. And Eileen was one of my workshop participants. And I'm so glad that she chose to sign up and to come to that program that weekend because we've become very good friends since that time. And Eileen and I have worked together. And she's has wonderful spiritual gifts. She is a psychic medium, and she's even done some work with various police departments as a psychic, as a reader, whenever they're doing investigations and they're looking for additional information to help them solve the case. They've called on Eileen at different times, and I thought that was just really marvelous that she was able to utilize her gift in this way. But today's show is going to be about Eileen's work related to the transformational learning and the transformational work that Eileen has done on herself as a result of attending one of that particular workshop that I was mentioned to you. And so, Eileen, are you there, Eileen? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Diane.
Wonderful. There you are. Eileen, could you just tell from your own perspective, give a little bit of an introduction of yourself and why you chose to come to that workshop that I did those days. It's about 10 years ago, so I'm reaching back in time. If you'll go there with me, if you can recall what led you there and how you came about finding me back then in the city of that little tiny city of Owen Sound.
Yes, I would love to, Diane, and thank you for having me on your show. I'm a psychic medium, and I'm also a Reiki master practitioner, so I do a lot of healing work and to help people move forward in their lives or, you know, just even for wholeness and wellness, whatever they're looking for, whatever their mm-hmm. soul needs at that time. So I met Diane. It was a level one quantum healing workshop. I came with no expectations. I walked in there. I was in the midst of separating from my husband. I hadn't left at that time. But when I walked in, and it transformed my life. There was no writing down information, nothing. It was about painting or, you know, you could do anything creative to get you into that right brain. Well, my whole life changed. On the second day when I came back to class, and it's about breathing and honoring who you are and being in the stillness and really listening to what your body needs, well, my whole life started to change. And it was in that moment on day two of a four-day workshop, I was like, okay, I did the breathing, I cried, I threw up, I you know, these are the things that happen in Diane's classes, but this is all to move you forward, and it's to get to clean your cells out within. My whole life changed, and right down to
But Eileen, can you tell us a little bit about how your life changed? Like what happened? What moved you? What was the big decision that you made?
Well, I wanted to leave my husband at the time, and it was interesting because on our lunch break, I drove through a Tim Hortons, and there in front of me was a home inspection truck number. So I wrote that number down. I ended up going around the block where there was this cute little house for sale, and it was in that time period I heard Spirit say, you need to get a real estate agent. I called my real estate agent, and I went through the house. I went, and that was the onset. I did a vision board that day when I got back into class, and I put, okay, this is the house that I want. I put my dream vision on that board. And just followed Diane's guidance, and I went really deep within myself.
So you heard from the spirit through to yourself directly. You heard you need to get a real estate agent. So you did. You followed it. You trusted it, and you went ahead and got that. And then so the real estate agent took you through that house. But it was later, right? It wasn't. It was like appointment you set up during class, and then you made it. You went later in that day. I'm just trying to remember how it happened, Eileen.
I did that day. She said, "Sure, I can meet you in Owen Sound at that." We set a time and the date. That was that day, that evening, and I was like, "Okay, I can do this."
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was that evening. during the course of the program, the three-day program. Oh, my God. And how did you feel when you went? You kept the appointment, obviously, right?
I did. I kept the appointment, what it was like to be free in that moment, standing in that little house. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I felt free.
Free, like, and you could breathe.
I could breathe, and in Diane's class, I'm going to admit it, I did. I purged. I got sick to my stomach, and I never felt so good after, because I purged up all that, all the past was coming up, and my soul and my spirit were telling me.
Emotions, right? They were past emotions, were they not, that you were hanging on to?
Yes.
Do you remember what some of them were, Eileen? Some of the emotions that you were purging out for yourself?
I was purging out disappointment and not being heard or not being understood or some put downs or feeling not worthy or not good enough. It was like all of that just came up. And it was exhausting.
Exhausting, yes, I know. And also, if I remember correctly, Eileen, I think that time, too, you had a lot of fear. Wasn't your husband also threatening you that if you left him, he was going to commit suicide? Is that your case? Do I remember that correctly?
That was my case.
Was in a lot of fear. A lot of fear, yes, that's right. Okay, now... Yeah, I'm connecting back with you on that, because that was a long time ago, and I remember that portion of it. that he didn't want you to leave. He threatened that he would hurt himself. Well, not hurt himself. He said he would. He said he would die, right? He said he would take his life.
Yes.
And yes. You believed him.
I did.
And so a lot of your reluctance then to move on with your life and leave your husband was, would you say that fear that you felt was kind of like holding you prisoner or maybe paralyzing you in some way?
I did. I felt like a prisoner in my own home. It was no longer my home. I felt like I was in jail every day and every night.
Wow. And so when you had that purge, and help me to remember, it was after you visited the house the next day in the program?
Yes, the next day. And I had made that decision. I was going to leave.
Oh. Yep. Okay, good. Yes, that's important, Eileen. So as soon as you made up your mind, and it was helpful that you, the house, the freedom, the breath of air, you could breathe freely in that house, that prompted your decision to leave. Is that right? Do I follow?
Yes.
And so in having that prompt and then coming back and making that decision that you were going to leave and you were going to do this, regardless of what was going to happen to him, right? You were sort of like, okay, my freedom, my personal freedom is where did you place that in your personal freedom at that point?
At that point, my freedom, it was about me. It was about it was about me. It was about my kids, but it was mostly about me.
Mostly about you and what you needed in order to be free in your life. Like freedom's a big word there, right? Because you said I felt like a prisoner.
And it was hard to breathe. It was hard to breathe in my own home.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that fear had constricted your own breath and your own work. Were you also physically ill at that time? Were you experiencing something, or was it anxiety or?
Oh, huge anxiety, and then I made a plan. I started with a plan, and at that time, my business was in the house, and I knew, and then a friend, so I do believe in divine intervention, and a friend came to me, and she said, look, there's office space open. You need to come into the office, and you need to work out of the office, and I said, okay, I'm on it. That's why I was able to get quite a bit of things out of my house and into the office where I stored them, because my former husband was on disability, long-term disability, never left the house. So it was my opportunity to get things out.
And so in getting the second, I guess you would say the first, was it the first divine intervention, we'll call it, came to you when you took the visit to the house, and then the second one came when your friend said there's office space, you're free? Okay. And then you took that as the second inspiration that you were on, or was it just an affirmation that you were on the right track?
Affirmation I was on the right track, but then it was your second course is when I walked into the room, into your room where you were teaching.
Yeah.
And you asked me, did you buy the house? And I said, no, but I've moved out and I have my own place.
Oh, okay. Yeah, pieces are coming back into my memory now. Thanks to that, I mean, yeah, you moved out and had your own place. And then did I ask what happened to the husband?
You did. And then he had called me during the lunch break and with some more threats, and I just burst out crying, and I couldn't breathe again. The anxiety hit me, and you were helping me purge that. And it was that, Diane, that day, everything in my whole life changed. There was no fear anymore. I wasn't fearful of him or what he would do to himself.
Wonderful.
I was free.
Wonderful. And so since that time, Eileen, what has that freedom given you? Where has it taken you, that freedom that you're talking about? How did your life go after that?
Well, almost 4 years ago, I went and I bought a house in Sarnia, Ontario, and started a whole new life here. And now, I just recently, 2 weeks ago, listed my house for sale, and I'm going to live my dream, and I'm moving to the East Coast. I'm just trusting the process.
That's wonderful. That's great. So why the East Coast? Why move so far away? Like the East, it's a lovely place, but why the East Coast for you?
I received a calling about 1 to 2 months ago, and the calling was about the whales, and I need to be with the whales. I have a really deep, strong connection with the whales, and dolphins. I'm not sure. I'm just going to trust the process. I'm not sure the reason behind being called to the East Coast with the whales. I'm just trusting, and I know everything will align because I trust Diane's courses because I do a lot of breathing.
You trust my courses, but I'd like to think that it's more about you trusting yourself, Eileen.
I do. And with your courses, Diane, I've learned to trust myself.
That's awesome. That's so great to hear. And that's interesting because you've been in the psychic medium business, and or I should say the people business, working as a psychic medium for how many years now in total? You've been in business a long time.
20 years.
20 years. And so you've always been given divine inspiration, would you say? You've always been guided and were able to connect.
Since I was a little girl.
Since you were a little girl, and how did you know that that was divine guidance and not your own thought pattern? Did you learn in the course, the ego mind?
Well, I would see angels, and I would actually see Jesus would come to me quite often.
Wow. And so the image of Jesus or the voice of Jesus, how would you, still is a very prominent helper in voice in your life?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And so is it always that way that you would see an image or you would hear the voice of Jesus? Is that how your messages always come to you, your direction?
They always come to me through Jesus.
Oh, okay.
That's also how I got out. I would hear a voice. I knew it was Archangel Michael, and I would hear a voice, and it would say, "Okay, little one." Whenever they use the term "little one," that's how I know.
Okay. And you have, I think, if I'm remembering right, Eileen, you also get these like goosebumply kind of skin, don't you? Like you get the shivers or something of some sort. You hear the voice and then the body responds?
Oh, yes, yes. They go hand in hand.
Because one of the things that I enjoy when I'm spending time with you or I'm working with you or we're discussing things, whether it's my life or your life, I know you get these shivers, you get these chills, and then sometimes you'll say, "Look, Diane, I have these goosebumps," and you'll show me your arm and your skin will be all goosebumpy.
That's confirmation from my angels and my guides. And the very, let me see, it's also, sometimes they are so, so strong. And so there's different degrees. I guess I would call it different degrees of goosebumps or those shivers that come through.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a timeline that they give me.
Really? Okay. Keep going. I'm listening. Keep explaining.
Oh, okay. So timeline. So sometimes, and dreams, because I'm a visionary, that's also how spirit works with me. They'll show me things in my dreams. And that, like, going back to the police, different sergeants have given me their cell numbers, and if I wake up in the night with a dream that could help their case, I would phone mm-hmm. them and tell them, and I would, in my dreams, I would get very detailed information. It would be like okay. being so astral traveling and being put right inside the dream, like right inside the place, like being in someone's house. I'm not physically there, but I'm astral travel. I have astral traveled there. Spirit has taken me there. So then I'm wow. looking. I'm looking around. It's very detailed.
The information you're seeing in the dream. And do you record these when you wake up then, Eileen, and then pass that information on to the police?
Yes, I'll write them down. Sometimes they'll give me coordinates. They'll give me coordinates, and it could be I'm missing.
Like, but
coordinates would be the location,
sure.
the possible location of where that person is. Like, let's say it's a missing person.
Yeah, so they're giving you numbers.
Mm-hmm. They're giving me numbers.
Oh, okay. Yes, those are the coordinates. Okay, I wasn't quite sure what you meant there.
Yes.
And so then, you pass that on to the police, and then they follow up with your what you've given them.
Yes. Yes. They would call me to come in and interview me. They'd interview me like a video call, like videotape and audio tape.
Yeah.
And then those CDs would be sent to that police force.
Oh, okay. And have you received any information back, any call back on how helpful you've been, or whether you were helpful or not? Have you received any feedback like that?
Yes, in some cases I have. And
wow.
sometimes like it could be in businesses too, where people like I had a dream 1 year prior to an event happening. But I was able to give all the details of the person. I got the name, details of the person, like all personal information about this person I'd never met before. But I just trusted. I just kind of put it on the shelf, and then I thought, okay, well, when I'm supposed to work on that, it will come to me. I never know how
yeah.
it's going to come to me. It just presents itself.
Okay. Wow. That's pretty amazing. That I always admire people like yourself, Eileen, who can work and has the gift to work that way with you. But here's the big question in terms of transformational learning and healing. What if you had, people would often say, if you had all those gifts, right, and you were being guided and you have angels and you have Jesus speaking to you, why were you stuck leaving your last life? Like, what was it that was keeping you from acting on all of that guidance and divine inspiration?
It was fear.
It was
fear, because when I took your when I did the quantum healing, Diane,
mm-hmm.
that's when everything opened up, like cells and. Like my ears began, like I could hear, it was like everything became very heightened, like it's on like a cellular level, everything, all my cells became very heightened, and it was, everything became alive within me. Fear, people have no idea what fear does to you, how it shuts you down, and a course like yours, Diane, it changes lives. It changed my life. And if you could see my life of what it was to where I am now, it's like it's totally opposite ends of the spectrum now.
Well,
and I'm happy.
Oh, I'm so glad that you are, that you're happy. I think for people, that's at least the majority of people that I see in my programs or that find their way to my healing lodge in Six Nations, they're just coming to, they just want to be happy. It's just like they're not seeking any big riches or new relationships, or like they're not coming there with that kind of goal. or sometimes they might come very ill. But, and the main thing that I sort of summed it all up with is that people are just wanting to be happy. They're just wanting to find a way to connect to themselves and to find that happiness that is going to flow from within you. Doesn't necessarily mean that the happiness is going to be connected to any particular job, you know, or any particular partner or person or any particular place. And for me, the happiness has always been something that is existing inside of you. And if you can just connect back deeply to your spiritual, soulful self, you'll find that by listening to yourself and making that connection that comes through after you release all the fears and the angers and sometimes the hurts and the loneliness that can get in the way. So emotions is it's in our way. And I think that's what you're saying, that our emotional work needs to be done. So the human side of us, you are very gifted and you are very gifted spiritually, but it's the human side, the physical side, it seems that you're saying that you didn't get a chance to pay attention to.
No, it felt like I never had time. Like in the relationship, it was about work and I never had time to really just be and to be in the stillness. And that's what your workshop gave me. It was almost like being given, in your workshops, the quantum healing gave me tools. And especially with breathing, because it's interesting, I would cut my, I wouldn't breathe. So if I got into a situation or that fear overtook me or the emotions, the anger, I would stop breathing. I wouldn't breathe. And then it felt like I was being choked. So the quantum healing and the breathing, it basically it forced me how to, I had to learn how to, I had to learn how to breathe again. And to trust. And there's so many emotions that you go through that you're releasing and you're not even aware of it. You're just doing it because it just comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just trusted the process. I surrendered, actually. I surrendered to the process.
And I think surrender to your own feelings, eh? Like surrendering to the body and what the body was feeling and then trusting your body that your body knew what to do with it all.
Yes, yes. And at the root, I was just existing. I was in that survival mode where you're not really existing at all. You're just existing. You're not living.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was. And I believe most of my life I was there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how does a gifted psychic medium such as yourself, I mean, and obviously, you know, talented, that the police department trusted you to do readings and help them with their investigations. Like, how do you, like, you had that gift since you were a child. So how did you not know about your feelings? I guess that's kind of my question related to the transformation. I think the feelings were key to you and the emotions were key to your transformation. But how is it that you didn't know how to do that? And yet you had all this other guidance happening. Like, did your parents not provide you with any teaching? Were you to be seen, one of those children to be seen and not heard? Like, I think just to help people understand how someone so gifted could still find themselves kind of trapped in that kind of unhappy relationship that you were in. How did your parents prepare you or did not prepare you? I guess that's the question.
My parents did not, they didn't believe in any of these types of gifts, even though they had it themselves. It wasn't talked about in my house.
Okay.
My mom would just shut me down. But I knew I was right. I would get in trouble because I would walk in on a conversation and I would talk about what they were talking about, even though I didn't know what they were talking about.
Oh, so they thought I was eavesdropping. And they accused you of eavesdropping?
They did. And I would get quickly out of the house, go out and play.
Oh, my goodness. So feelings were not to be discussed either. You weren't eavesdropping. You were picking up on the information. But they thought you were eavesdropping. I get that, but like, so that wasn't allowed.
No, but, it wasn't allowed.
But not to even address the feelings. I think this is where a lot of my work has been given recognition and taken its kind of an importance, is because I guess if feelings weren't being talked about and they're not being explained or they're not being accepted or, you know, because that's what a young child would say, eh? Like, well, I wasn't eavesdropping. I just, this is how I feel.
Yes. And sometimes sometimes I felt like I was going crazy. Like, really, did I hear that? Like, where's that coming from? Like, I would question, myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you finally resolve yourself to say, okay, that's not me. I'm not making this up. I'm picking up information. How did you come to understand that and realize that?
I would say I had started the process when I was doing my healing work. I was really being mindful of my thoughts, but it wasn't until quantum healing, your courses, and then that's when everything just, like, it was like a volcano finally erupting, that I could be me. I could be myself, and I didn't have to hide. I felt like I always had to hide who my gifts, I had to hide them.
Really? I didn't realize that's where you were at. I thank you for being honest and saying that so clearly, Eileen. Because I looked at you back then and I thought, wow, this one's got some really cool gifts.
Yeah. I have a
happy puppy here behind me.
Sorry.
Hold on. They said you weren't out. She's whining terribly.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Diane.
Yeah. So getting back to the conversation then, sorry, I had an unhappy puppy here. She went off into the other room. So I think in terms of this healing work or this work that you did with me, we're calling it quantum healing. And in previous shows that I've done, I've introduced myself in the programs as fostering emergence of the good mind. And I've taken all of that scientific or quantum science thinking and practices and processes, and I've rolled them into my work from the cultural, native cultural context, and put it into the energy work or the spiritual work that my people are known for, or that is consistent in our philosophy and our healing and wellness practices that my people, my background comes from Indigenous peoples, as you know. And so I'm just wondering if that focus on emotion and focus on the physical body was what made the difference for you? Or was it different in other modalities? Because I know you weren't a newbie coming to my workshop. You had tried other modalities, I think, if I remember right. I'm just wondering what you found was the differences there.
Because I was with my friends, my Indigenous friends. I would go to full moon circles. I would go to healing circles. I was very involved. And I really started learning the teachings of the Indigenous ways. And I just love the teachings, the seven teachings. And I really started there. I started with Reiki, yoga. I was trying to get help. Finding the help
for, hello, Eileen, are you still there? Eileen, are you still there? I think we've lost the call.
I think her line dropped. Hopefully she'll be able to get back on. We've had some challenges with electronics. But,
okay, can you call back in?
Oh, I think she's back now. Let's see.
So, I'm in.
There we go.
Yeah, okay, she's back.
Okay, sorry, I don't know what happened there.
Okay, so I can't, can you pick up from where you left? You said you were seeking out Indigenous teachings, and you had the Seven Grandfathers teachings, and you were interested in all of those modalities, and you were seeking something. What were you, you said I was looking for help, and I was just wondering if help was what?
It was with the Indigenous teachings that I really, it really, really opened up my psychic abilities, being around that those sacred fires. And with the drumming and finding my beating, what is it? Beating to my own drum. And I really started to really listen. And that's when really everything just opened up for me.
Okay. So your gifts then became more obvious, or it gave you an understanding of what your gifts and what your practice was about this. And that's the help you were looking for, because like you said earlier, you wondered if you were going crazy, right?
I did, yeah.
With some of,
yes.
So that's awesome. I didn't know that, Eileen. I remember meeting you in that workshop 10 years ago, and you had a friend, Hema, was with you at that time. And I think the two of you were then doing Reiki practice together, because you're also a master, Reiki master?
Yes, yes, I am. Yes, and Hema and I, we started doing a lot of work together. And it was
and
fun.
And that was in the, a lot of work together in the Reiki modality, you mean?
Yeah, well, actually I actually met Hema the first time I was holding my first healing circle at my house in Port Elgin, and Hema was there, and we just connected, and I love to laugh because I feel like laughter is so important, and so we just connected, and it was okay. Well, let's get going with this line of work, and we all started growing together.
Wonderful. I'm so grateful to you for being on the call today, Eileen, because, you and I become friends, but, you know, when we get together, we get talking about different things, you know, in our lives and what happened, and we're catching up all the time. And so I really appreciate you taking the time to take me back down memory lane with you, and to really kind of relive that transformational moments for you in your life. Because, I don't often hear from people who go through my workshops. I don't often reconnect, or I don't often stay friends but with them either, because people are passing through the program, getting what they need and get it going off and living their lives. And very few of them will touch base with me again, or stay as friends. And you're one that stayed as a friend to me. And I really appreciate that you did that, and that you could take the time today to be able to go through and have this conversation with me about what those transformational moments were. I think connecting to the human side of things is so important. That's what I get out of your story today. And I don't know if you want to say anything more about the importance of being a human being, or learning to be a good human being, because I think so oftentimes we downplay the physical and the emotional side of our beings, and that's not according to my native teachings, say. Our native teachings said we're all of that. We're body, mind, heart, and spirit. So you can't dismiss one in favor of the other. But I wondered if you would say something about that, Eileen, in terms of how have you connected to that human side of your life and your world?
Well, sure. I'll do my best. I've learned to acknowledge my emotions and what I'm feeling, and that there isn't a wrong answer to what I'm feeling. When the anger, if anger comes up, there's an emotion there, and I believe anger is a really good emotion, because you need that anger to push that energy, that stuck energy up. And I learned that, and I learned how to embrace that it's not a bad quality to have. There's times when I go for a drive and I pull over and I have to scream, you know, if I feel like my voice has been taken. So I really check in with myself many times a day, and to see where I'm at. Like I am I in my joy? Am I in my love? Or am I in anger? Where's my barometer? And and those check-ins are very important. And I've learned how to embrace what I'm feeling, that I don't have to cover it up, or I don't have to cover up how I feel. And even with some of the things that I see, I trust it. I trust what spirit's giving me or showing me or taking me to. There's a reason for it. And I do believe, I trust wholeheartedly, and I've really opened myself up, and really enjoying my life and embracing my life and all the changes that come with it, because there's always growth. And I'm not afraid.
Oh, so you're not afraid. So you're no longer living in that fear, that anxiety, as we called it earlier. That anxiety's gone, and with it a lot of the fears that would have kept you from, like you said, you were hiding. You wouldn't even tell people what your gifts were about. But that's all changed now.
It has. And I just, you know what, and I accept people for where they are, who they are, what their beliefs are. It doesn't matter. It's about respect. And that's a grandfather teaching. And I work at the seven teachings. I go out and I lay my tobacco. I smudge. I make my medicine tea. And it's also helped a lot of other people, like giving those suggestions to them too. Okay, well, maybe try this. Maybe smudging. Sorry, my dog is barking. But that's what I do. I really embrace my teachings. Sorry. Oh dear.
Are you still there?
I'm still here. I'm just letting the dog out. There, we'll let her out. Okay. Okay, I'm back, Diane.
Okay. And so when you are not living in fear, I'm gonna give you a little push here, Eileen. So one of the greatest fears that we're dealing with right now in the world is COVID. And I'm just wondering, where did you go with that in your own personal fear? How did you manage that? Because I think we were talking about breath earlier, and how COVID is a disease that affects people's breath. And once they get afraid, the breathing stops. I'm just wondering how you can, if you connected that, or if you experienced any of that when the shutdown came and the news came out that the COVID virus was about.
I acknowledge, like, when I looked around, and even I never feared it, but I looked at everyone's fear and their energy fields and their eyes, and it was like they weren't breathing. It was like they were just like holding their breath, and the fear in the grocery stores, you could see it in people's eyes, and then masking on top of that. And I was like, oh my goodness, because now they can't get any air, any oxygen to their brains. So they're going to stay in that fear, that vibration of fear. And I would tell people, I'd say, if they were open to it, I'd just say, you know, a virus is a very low, low vibration. That's down with jealousy and anger and hate. And I said, you have to breathe and get out in the air, get out around the trees and the water and breathe, because you have to get that oxygen flowing to your brain.
Uh-huh.
I said, it's something you don't have to fear, because I said, you'll attract that virus to you by staying in the fear of it.
And how did people respond to you, Eileen, when you gave them that direction and advice?
Quite a few, I would say, the majority of them, they were like, really? A virus is that low of frequency? And I said, it's down with anger and hate. And I said, we always have a barometer. So I would suggest that they listen to 528 hertz music. I said, put on a high
okay.
frequency vibration of music and breathe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how did people that took that advice, did you follow up with anyone? Did anyone come back and say, thank you for that, it helped me in this way?
They did. They said, I can't believe the difference. And because people started texting me and asking me, what do I do? I don't know what to do. And I said, breathe. You have to get breathing. You've got to get the oxygen in and you got to get out of the fear of it.
So something so simple as breathing, and I know we did that in the program that you took with me. I know we put a lot of emphasis on that. So you took that small thing. And some people would say it's such a simple little thing is to learn how to breathe, and you took that and you were able to use that not only to help yourself, but to now advise and give help to other people. I think that's just magnificent. I think that's awesome that you were able to do that.
Thank you. Important to me.
So we're coming down to the end, getting near to the end. I can't believe how fast time goes when we're having these conversations. But is there anything else, Eileen, that you want to share about your experiences? About the transformations you've had, were you able to apply what you learned from the workshop when in other times, maybe something that stands out you share? When I wasn't around or we weren't in class or things weren't happening, is there something, a moment that you recall where you were able to help yourself shift the energies and move through it?
If a trigger came up, I was able to go, okay, I'm safe, breathe. What sounds in my hearing and breathe. And then I would get myself calmed down. And I found that really helped me because I was going through a lot. Then I was into a separation and different things with the house I bought, and I had to learn how to breathe again and take back my own power and stand in my power. And that's the biggest lesson that I learned, is how to stand in my own truth and my own power and to speak it, that it's safe to speak it.
Yeah, that's amazing. I thank you for being on my show today, Eileen, and for sharing your personal experiences. And I think I'm going to say something kind of really goofy here, but I think you'll probably understand what I mean. There's so many times that my friends, when I was coming up and learning all about these spiritual gifts and things that people do, I remember some people would sit there and say, well, you're psychic, you must have all the answers. And I remember thinking that myself, eh? Because people would look at people like you who have that gift and think, well, yeah, you must have the answers. Like, what are you asking us questions for? Like, why are you looking to us for information? Like, don't you know it all? Don't you have it at your fingertips?
No, even though I'm a medium, it's different for us. We have to go to somebody else. Well, maybe not all of us, but some of us, me, I have sometimes, I don't have the answers. They're always within in me, but sometimes I just can't get it.
Yeah. I know. And I know that that's the way that people tend to look at you who work in that area and in that field. They tend to look at you as that way. I'm sure you've probably heard that somewhere.
I've had that happen.
You've had that happen?
I have.
Well, Eileen, I thank you for being a good human being. Because for me, that's kind of what the process is all about, is learning to be that good human being, above all else. And regardless
thank
of the
you.
Gifts and, you know, and the things that you do and the things when you've helped me a lot through the years, and you're always willing to jump in there at the last minute. And I really appreciate that you're like that. You're able to roll. That's a great deal of growth, you know, that you're able to just go with the flow like that. So I want to thank you and give you that recognition back and acknowledgement that you are following your dreams, say, eh? And that the fear that you had is, I don't, like for you to be able to move to the East Coast, that's a big move from Ontario to Nova Scotia or wherever you're going to end up. But I'm sure you'll stay in touch with me, and I'm sure I'll be able to get a chance to visit you even when you move so far away from me.
You will.
And I'm less likely to show up on your doorstep the way that I do now.
That's okay. You're invited anytime, anywhere.
Okay. So I think we're going to bring our conversation to a close. And so I'm just wanting to let folks know that, you know, Eileen, I think you're open to receiving phone calls or an email if somebody's interested in following up with you, any of the listeners. Do you have a website or something online?
I don't have a website yet. It's being developed, but yes, anyone can email me. That would be lovely.
Yeah. And could you maybe share your email address with us here online?
Oh, absolutely.
On the air, yeah. What's your email address?
Violet Flame. So Violet, like VIOLETFLAME, 2017@outlook.com.
Okay. And you're available for readings and all that good work you do for police departments. If people have any questions or want to partake of your services, you're open to that. And
sure. Yes.
Yeah, and they'll be able to email you and get in touch with you that way. That's awesome. So I guess my shameless self-promotion talk is more or less promoting you. Right now.
Thank you, Diane. Sorry about that.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I'll say goodbye to you then now, Eileen, and
okay.
I'll follow up with you in a bit, and
okay.
I'll just close off my program here for today. So thanks so much. And so my program in transformational learning, I'm hoping to bring on other guests on this show, on the air. This has been my first sort of follow-up and attempt to engage friends and people, colleagues, who do this kind of spiritual work for the soul on many levels, emotional work, physical work, mental spiritual work. And today I was lucky enough to have Eileen join me on a call and to explain a little bit about the spiritual work that she does, but also to share with you her own personal transformation. So in upcoming shows, I hope to have other guests on as well, where we can cover lots of things like Indigenous people's teachings and things like what Eileen mentioned, the Seven Grandfathers teaching that comes from different tribal base, not my own per se, but when you look at Indigenous people's teachings, you see that we do share a lot in common, even though our languages might differ, our spiritual ritual practices or ceremonial practices might look differently. The underlying philosophy is all the same, and I found that to be true with regardless of tradition, ancient traditions, Hinduism, the Judeo-Christian traditions, the traditions in Buddhism and different faiths, spiritual traditions, we all converge at some point along the way. And that's what I enjoy so much about this human journey and these teachings that are being made available and this opportunity that Nicole Marie Whitney gives me twice a month to be able to share and to spread the word about what Indigenous people have to offer. So next week or the next 2 weeks from now, I'm going to bring on another special guest, and this time from the Mayan Indian culture. And so her name's Maria Monteo. She's a Mayan healer and seer and visionary. And so I'm hoping to have that discussion next time. So if you want to tune in a couple of weeks' time, we'll have that conversation for you all to listen to. So thanks very much. And my time is done. And so I'll gladly end it here today. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.